Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we consider a brief parable in the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 26, as follows. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." These are the words. In the name of Jesus Christ, the light of our Epiphany season, and the person who has sent us forth with the light of his gospel to enlighten others, dear fellow redeemed. Back in the 1950s and 60s, scientists and engineers confidently predicted that by the turn of the 21st century, nearly all of American life would be completely automated. All the common drudge work of day-to-day life would be accomplished automatically without people ever having to lift a finger. Those difficult everyday chores that we all are so grudging to do would all be accomplished not by human beings, but by robots. Obviously, that never quite happened. But if you stop and think about it, much of that prediction concerning automation has come true. Now, most of us take for granted the fact that machines will automatically clean our dishes, wash our clothes, heat our homes. How many useful functions does the personal computer carry out for us? And many of those completely automatic without anyone ever having to touch a key. Of course, I'm using the term automatic rather loosely here. None of those devices I mentioned are truly automatic. For instance, human beings have to program computers. Human beings have to load the dishwasher and the washing machine and set the thermostat on the furnace. To be truly automatic, a thing would have to be completely self-contained, carrying out its function efficiently with no help whatsoever from any human being. In fact, that is the exact meaning of the Greek adjective automate, which is the ancient word from which our word automatic stems. Not coincidentally, that same Greek word occurs in our text for this morning. It's in a parable that Jesus told to illustrate the fact that there is one thing that does work all by itself without the help of human beings, and that is God's Word. That's why our theme this morning is the Word of God is automatic. All by itself, it makes faith sprout. All by itself, it makes faith grow. And all by itself, it ripens faith for the harvest. This text is in a series of parables Jesus told about the kingdom of God. In other words, about how people become believers. Each parable focuses on a different aspect of this miraculous transformation from spiritual death to spiritual life. Today's text makes a single point. The life is in the Word. The new spiritual life that sprouts and grows up in a Christian, that turns him from being spiritually dead into being spiritually alive, that gospel, that power is in the Word. It comes from nowhere else. That's why you could say that the Word of God is automatic. First of all, because it is the Word of God all by itself that makes faith sprout. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how." Well, the characters in this parable are pretty easy to identify. You've probably identified them for yourself already. The seed, of course, is the Word of God. The earth where the seed is sown are the hearts of people who hear the gospel. And the sower is Christ, although he uses the preachers of his gospel to facilitate the sowing of the Word. A Christian biology professor once stood up in front of his college class holding an object in each hand. "In my left hand," he said, "is a seed from a bean plant. In my right hand is a replica that I created in the laboratory. They are exactly the same size, weight, color and chemical composition. There is only one difference. When I put them in the ground, the one God made will grow, and the one I made will not. It's amazing. We still don't know how seeds work. The miracle of how a seed germinates and sprouts remains nearly as much a mystery in our day and age as it was at the time of Christ. Scientists can't explain it, and they cannot reproduce it. Thankfully, God's creation does not cease to function merely because you and I don't understand it. Neither does God's Word. The Word works, even if we can't see how. That's why the growth of a seed is such a great analogy for how the Word of God works in a person's heart. Because a seed has the new life completely encapsulated within itself, and so does the Word. Scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without the Word, nothing can happen. That professor's homemade seed would never grow, no matter how fertile the soil he planted it in, no matter how much rain or sunshine it got. But the true seed will sprout, and the same thing's true about the Word of God. It doesn't matter the condition of the human heart in which it's sown. In fact, that condition is always the same, isn't it? Dead in trespasses and sins before the Word gets there. But the Word of God is automatic. It carries within itself the power to create faith, to instill spiritual life into a heart that was previously spiritually dead. That's why it's called in Scripture the Word of Life, literally the Word that brings life. And praise God, that's how faith came into your heart as well, wasn't it? Perhaps it was when you were a little child in the sacrament of holy baptism that faith was first implanted in your heart. Or maybe it was when you were older, when you read the gospel in your Bible or heard it preached in church. Or perhaps it was when a friend shared the Word of God with you. Hey, I'm a sinner too, but God sent Jesus to save sinners like you and me. God gave his only Son into death so that our sins could be covered forever and we could have eternal life. However it happened in your case, the seed was implanted in your heart, and it sprouted and it grew. That's why Peter could say, you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's how faith starts. But where does it go from there? Well, it turns out the development of faith is just as much a mystery as it is its beginning. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. The Word of God is automatic in the second place because all by itself it makes faith grow. Once again, Jesus emphasizes by itself. That's that word automatae, by the way. Once the Word is planted, a believer is created. And everything that happens to nourish and to cultivate the faith in that believer happens as a result of the working of God's Word. All growth in God's kingdom comes from the Word. That seems pretty straightforward, but you'd be surprised at how many people are losing sight of that fact in our world. It's pretty counterintuitive to our human way of thinking. Many people don't trust the Word. They think that we have to use our human cleverness to make the kingdom of God grow. And if you don't believe that, you've probably never heard of the so-called church growth movement. It's a whole new industry in America. Their philosophy is this, that in order for there to be growth in the church, we have to be very clever. We have to use the latest marketing techniques. We have to target certain demographic groups, particularly young people, and minister not to their real needs, but to their felt needs, what they think they need to hear. We have to make our church music similar to the music on the radio. We have to tailor our preaching so that we preach what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Usually a lot less doctrine and a lot more feeling and emotion, and certainly nothing about sin. That's a real downer topic. And if you don't do that, so they say, the church won't grow. But is that how growth occurs in the human heart or in the church? Is that the way to engender faith? Because remember, faith is our goal here. We're not shooting for a magnificent church building or for a church roster with thousands of names on it or any other outward goal. The thing that we're shooting for is faith. The thing that keeps people out of hell and delivers them to heaven is faith. Martin Luther once said, "God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing." And the methods of the church growth movement really have nothing to do with faith. Those things aren't the seed. The seed is the Word of God, and the Word of God is automatic. The life that's engendered in people, spiritual life that gives them eternal life, that is wholly contained in the Word. By the way, that's why we in the Church of the Lutheran Confession focus so exclusively on the Word of God, because only the Word can create and strengthen faith. And what a relief that is when you think about it, isn't it? Because we don't have to be clever. We don't have to be marketing experts. We don't have to hire rock bands and motivational speakers. All we have to do is sow the Word. Our entire calling is to trust the powerful divine Word of God to sow it steadily and faithfully. James says, "Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." That's just what we've always tried to do with our outreach here at Ascension Lutheran Church. Just sow the powerful Word of God and let the Word do the work. And that's what we'll continue to do. Certainly, we do make every use we can of any outward means that will assist us to sow the Word of God, but always bearing in mind that the power is in the Word. The Word of God is automatic. As Paul reminded the Corinthians, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." This is great news for your personal witnessing, by the way, especially if you're the kind of person who has some anxiety about whether or not they're effective in their outreach with the gospel. You don't really have to worry about that. One of the favorite air-to-air missiles utilized by United States fighter aircraft is called the AMRAAM, Fire and Forget Missile. So called because you can aim it at a target and pull the trigger and then go do something else. As soon as you fire the missile, it takes over, the missile itself, and homes in on the target and will keep following it no matter what you do. By the time it reaches the target, the fighter pilot can be two states over, and the AMRAAM will be homing in, doing its job, fire and forget. Faith is kind of a fire and forget weapon, too. The Word of God works that same way as that missile, in a sense. That is, once you speak the gospel, once you articulate to someone else what it is you believe about Jesus, then the Word takes over. You don't have to worry about it. You can go to bed at night and get up in the morning, and even if you never see that person again, the Word that was implanted will still be working, and it will grow. God says so in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper for the thing for which I sent it." Thirdly, the Word of God is also automatic in this sense that it is the Word of God that ripens faith for the harvest. Jesus said, "The earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." The Word of God causes faith to sprout in a person's heart, and the Word of God is what cultivates that faith. Then the believer matures in his knowledge of God's Word. He gains experience in following Jesus. From a heart of faith, he eventually begins to produce fruits, the good works that adorn the gospel and serve the kingdom of Christ. And finally, at the end of life, the crown of the fruits of a believing life is given when the Lord of the harvest gathers home his saints. It's true that those who are lost, those who have rejected Jesus as their Savior, for them, that last day will bring a dreadful harvest of condemnation. Then the Lord will say to his angels, "Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." But for the believers, for those of us who have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, that day holds no fear, only joy. That day will bring a blessed harvest of saints unto eternal life. Saints such as Connie and Amy Windecker, Alexander Horst, Rick Hawley, Bert Nauman, Danny Manti. Saints from this congregation for whom the Lord Jesus has already called, who have already gone home to be with him in glory. Saints like you. Yes, just like you. Believers who have had that word of life take root in your heart and spring up to everlasting life. Because of Christ, you too have nothing to fear from judgment day. That's why our Savior said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Finally, there's another way we use the term automatic too, isn't there? We use that term when there is a contest between athletes and one of them is very heavily favored to win. We say that person is an automatic. In the year 1999, the St. Louis Rams had a kind of athletic contest going about who would be their starting quarterback. And again, it seemed like the choice was automatic. The veteran Trent Green was a superstar player who seemed an automatic to start at the quarterback. So much so that very few people had given any thought at all to the second string quarterback, a relative unknown who was undrafted and just a few weeks before had been stocking shelves at a Hy-Vee supermarket in Cedar Falls, Iowa. That is, until Green was injured and the backup had to come in. He didn't stay a nobody for long. Kurt Warner would eventually become a Super Bowl champion, two-time MVP, and a future Hall of Famer. That was one case in which the automatic favorite didn't come in first. Can you think of an even better example? What about the fierce warrior Goliath with his experience in war and his fearsome weapons? He certainly seemed to be an automatic choice to defeat the lowly shepherd boy David. But David had something besides his staff and his sling to fight with. He had the word of God. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." He had no doubt. He had faith, demonstrating once again that the word of God is automatic. All by itself, it makes faith sprout. All by itself, it makes faith grow. And all by itself, it ripens faith for the harvest. God grant that the seed of faith that has been sown in our hearts may grow up to an abundant harvest of good works in our lives and finally bear that fruit that we look forward to in eternal life. One thing we know, we keep on sowing the word and we shall not sow in vain. The word will provide abundant fruit. We know that because the word of God is automatic. Amen. Please rise.